All right, it's good to be here tonight, and we appreciate the privilege the Lord's given us together in His house once again. I'll ask you to turn, if you will, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, and we'll look in chapter number 27, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter number 27. I'll tell you, everybody's had their mind on the eclipse today, and been a lot of excitement about that. And you know, I thought about this. My son had a fella he worked for a little while back call him and say, you know, my wife is really disturbed about what's going on, and she's not right with the Lord. And said, could you talk to her about maybe some things that Jesus told us was going to happen just prior to His coming? And so he gave her some truths out of the Word of God, what the Lord described. And I was just looking today, Joel 2:31 said, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord. We've had more blood moons in the last little while than I could ever remember in my life. And today we've had this great eclipse, the sun turning into darkness. And then in Luke 21:25, there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars. And upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexity and the sea waves roaring. All of those are descriptions of what's going on right now. And I know this, the Lord is coming. We don't have to seek a sign. The Jews seek after a sign, the Greeks after wisdom, but we just simply be ready for His coming at any time. He said, you be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Someone asked Mr. Spurgeon one time, said, do you think the Lord could come today? He said, I think not. Amen. In such an hour as you think not. So we really don't know the day. We don't know the hour. But He said, you're not in blindness or darkness, that day should overcome you. You're children of the light. He said, when you see these things, you lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. I'll ask you to look in Matthew 27. And I want to begin in verse number 45. It says, now, from the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Some of them that stood there, when they heard that, said, this man calleth for Elias. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let us see whether Elias will come and save him. And Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. And the earth did quake, and the rocks rent, and the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Over in the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 23 and verse number 44, the Bible says, and it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in twain. I want to preach today on this subject, that dark day at Calvary. That dark day at Calvary. Now, there were many supernatural things that took place the day that Jesus Christ died. Of course, He was God on earth, and throughout His life, you see the divine miracles that were wrought by His hand. And even here on the cross, while He's there hanging, bleeding, and dying for our sins, we find that the Scripture tells us there's another miraculous thing that happened. From 12 o'clock till 3 o'clock in the day, by computation of Matthew, Mark, and John, and Luke, there was darkness for 3 hours. And it was not an eclipse. The eclipse you saw today, it happened for just a little while, and then it's gone on. The Bible said there was a darkness that fell over, in Luke, all the earth. That means that not only did the sun not shine, but the moon didn't give its light, nor the stars glimmer. And God put a supernatural darkness over all the earth, much like He did down in the land of Egypt for 3 days. A thick darkness fell upon that land, so thick that it could be felt. I believe there's emphasis and reason that the Lord tells us about that dark day on Calvary. There was a lot of darkness that was around Calvary all day long. There was darkness in the disciples' life. They were blinded to the need of the cross. They were blinded to the fact that he told them again and again, I've got to go to Jerusalem. I've got to suffer. I've got to suffer many things of the chief priests and elders and be crucified and then rise again. And then even at the end of the resurrection, they still did not know those things till the Lord raised himself from the dead and then revealed himself unto them. The disciples were in darkness as they fled. When the shepherd was smitten, the sheep fled into the darkness. I think about how there was darkness in Judas's life. Judas, filled with the devil, betrayed the Son of God. Then they tried to, he tried to give the money back that he had taken, the 30 pieces of silver, and they would not take it. And he threw it down and went out. And the Bible says that he hanged himself. And my, what darkness there was in Judas. Think about the darkness in the religionist life. Though the scriptures had been written and the prophecies had been plain over and over and over again, yet they denied the Lord. They weren't looking for a crucified Savior. They were looking for a reigning king to overthrow the Roman government. And they were blinded to the fact that Jesus was God. I think about darkness in the ruler's life. The Bible says, had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Pilate, he wanted to see a miracle, and Jesus wouldn't even speak to him. He had done chopped the head off John the Baptist, and then Herod himself, Pilate himself, washed his hands with water and said, I'm pure from the blood of this innocent man. And they were blinded politically, and for their political career, they were willing to give Jesus Christ up. And in the political realm, there was darkness in those days. And we ask the question, why suddenly did the sun stop shining? Why was there a darkness that fell over the earth? And Sister Sarah told me as they were looking at what part of the eclipse we saw today, it suddenly got cool. Can you imagine now with darkness over all the earth? For those 3 hours, the earth cooled down and cooled off, and it got cold around Calvary. And it had never been colder among mankind than it was the day that they nailed the Creator, the Savior, the Lord of glory to an old Roman cross. And so we ask this question, why the darkness and why the emphasis of that? Well, number one, darkness came for the verifying of prophecy. The verifying of prophecy. Prophecy after prophecy was fulfilled in the life of Jesus from his lineage to his birth to where he was raised at to what he did. It was divinely described hundreds, thousands of years before. And the Bible tells us about a prophecy of darkness in that day in Amos 8 in verse number 9. It says, and it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord God, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in a clear day. God said, when you know that day comes, I'm going to cause the sun to go down at noon. And what time was it? God particularly lists that in the Gospels that it was noon when the darkness fell upon all the earth. Brother Jeremiah prophesies again of that day in chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. He says, hath a nation changed their gods which are yet no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which is not profit. Be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns and broken cisterns that can hold no water. And in that day when Israel cried, crucify, crucify, give us Barabbas, they were rejecting the Messiah, and they were cutting out cisterns that can hold no water. They said, give us Barabbas, give us that political Jesus. We'd rather follow him. Though he's a murderer and an insurrectionist, we want him. And Jeremiah said in that day, the heavens would be horribly afraid. Yea, they would be desolate. And we read how that it was darkened. The songwriter said, "We'll map the sun in darkness hide and shut his glories in when God the mighty maker died for man the creature sin." And this was but one of the many prophecies that were fulfilled on that day that Jesus Christ died on the cross. You see, folk, we're not sitting here trusting in fallacy. We're not trusting in some fuzzy feeling a man had. We're not trusting in some leader that says he has a vision in a cave and came out with scrolls that nobody ever even saw. We're not trusting in what some man says. We're trusting in the written fabric and foundation of the Word of God. As Brother Bobby had us sing a while ago, that's that firm foundation that the Lord has laid for us. And that's why we come to worship. We come to worship Him on the basis of the Word of God. Darkness came as a verifying of prophecy. Number two, darkness came as a veil for privacy. I remember when I had to discipline my children, and sometimes I'd say to my son, "All right, son, come here. Let's go in here." And we would go along. Maybe you have to discipline your children. You don't do it in front of people. You take it and you go to a private place. Well, the Lord is going to bruise His own son. And the Bible says it pleased Him to bruise him. There's some things that please God. And it didn't please Him in His heart, but it pleased His holiness. Because His holiness had to be satisfied. Sin had to be paid for. And either you and I pay for it, or Jesus said, "I'll pay for it. I'll take the supreme price. I'll be the sacrifice." And as a result, it pleased the Lord to bruise Him. And a bruise is a dark place upon you. And I believe the Lord pulled that curtain down as He outpoured His fury and His holy wrath upon His Son, where Jesus took my place. Isaiah 53 says He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And for those that might think they can save themselves through religious works or efforts, I point to Isaiah 53 and say, God said, "The only pleasure that I have in saving you is because of the day that my Son took your place and He was bruised upon the cross for you. And if you trust Him, I will redeem you." 1 Corinthians chapter number 4 said, God will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. Jesus was a lamb slain as from before the foundation of the world. And He brought to light on that dark day at Calvary that here is the lamb. Here's the one bleeding. Here's the one dying for us. And when Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" That dark veil was upon Him. And He cried, "I thirst," as He took our hell and our judgment upon Him. Thirdly, I say darkness came upon the earth because of the vitalness of the position. By that I mean Colossians 1:13 said, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into the kingdom of light." We've seen a few rescues in my day. And in order to rescue folk, whether it be from Iraq or Iran or Afghanistan or wherever it might be, then those rescuers had to go into that kingdom and they had to perform the rescue. Well, the Lord went into the kingdom of darkness as He died upon the cross of Calvary, because the Bible says ye were sometimes darkness, and the people that sat in darkness, they saw a great light. And Jesus came into that kingdom of darkness where we were at in order to rescue us and deliver us and bring us out of the kingdom of darkness. And then we see there was darkness because of the visitation of the prince of darkness. Satan is a dark devil. Jesus talked about the fact that this hour has come, the hour of the power of darkness. Men love darkness rather than light because they're of their father, the devil, and he's a dark devil. He's a devil of darkness, and everywhere you see him coming, he's going to bring darkness with him. And you can mark it down, Satan was there at the cross and all the imps of hell swarming over Jesus just like bees that would pour out of a hive. And
the dark swarm of demons and devils of hell and Satan himself screaming and yelling and hollering and abusing the Lord Jesus Christ. And you say, was there a battle on Calvary? Well, the Bible says that he blotted out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which is contrary to us, took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And he spoiled principalities and powers of the air and made a show of them openly, triumphant over them in it. The cross was a battlefield. And there was never a more darker battlefield in the history of mankind than that day upon Calvary as Jesus went to war with the powers of hell. And the Bible says he spoiled those principalities, those powers of the air, by the power of the cross. What the devil thought he would use to destroy Jesus with, Jesus turned it around and used the sword to slay Satan with. Like Haman, who got hung in his own noose, the devil got hung in his own plot to get rid of Jesus and destroy him on the cross. And it's through the cross, praise God, that you and I are delivered and we overcome the devil. Then we find darkness came as a time when the vial was poured out upon him. In the garden, Jesus knew what was coming. And he prayed, let this cup pass from me. I believe he was looking into that nasty cup of sin that he would have to drink down. And the Bible tells us in Corinthians, he became sin for us who knew no sin. And I don't know how it all happened, but I believe there at about 12 o'clock till 3, the Father poured that vial of filthy sin out upon Jesus as he became sin for us on the cross. And the wrath and the punishment of God fell upon him. And can you imagine that? When you sin yourself, you feel a darkness, you feel a dirtiness and a nastiness. You think about how it was before you got saved and how the load of guilt was upon you. What about Jesus swallowing down and taking the cup of our iniquities? All the wretchedness, all the filthiness, all the ungodliness, all the unrighteousness was poured out on Jesus. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 5:21, he was made sin for us who knew no sin. Sin had never touched him. Sin had never gripped him. Sin had never took hold of him. And now he becomes the very essence of sin upon the cross. I don't understand that great mystery, but it happened. Isaiah 53:12, who bore the sins of many. And in 1 Peter 2:24 says, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. You think about the darkness of sin that was poured out upon him, and no wonder he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? For God cannot, will not, shall not tolerate nor look upon sin. And the only way he looks upon it is with a heavy hand of judgment upon that sin. And that judgment fell upon Jesus Christ there that day. The vial was poured out. It's the darkest spot in history. The darkest place in history. And can you imagine what Jesus Christ felt as he was made to be sin for us who had knew no sin? What a dark day it was on Calvary. And then I think about the vicarious punishment of Calvary and the darkness there. It pleased the Lord to bruise him. Psalms 88:6-7 said, thou hast laid me in the lowest pit, in darkness, in the deep, thy wrath upon me. Thou hast afflicted me with all thy waves, Selah. He said, you've laid me into the pit. You put me in the place of darkness. The waves of judgment fell upon me. And can I can't imagine, I can't comprehend the pain and the agony and the eternality of that suffering that fell on Jesus in those hours. And God, in those 3 hours, took our eternity, balled them all up, and it fell upon Jesus. You say, how can that be? I don't know, but I know in the temptation of Jesus, Satan showed the Lord the kingdoms of the earth in a moment of time. He scanned the kingdoms of the earth and was able to transport through time. Our God is an eternal God. And when the Lord poured out wrath on Jesus, it wasn't just the temporal 3 hours. It was an eternal wrath that he faced for you and for me. No wonder we worship him. No wonder we thank him for his good mercy and his grace. Why hast thou forsaken me, God, forsaken God, a darkness upon him? No wonder the rocks rent, for underneath the cross was the heaviest burden that had ever been. As our Lord bore the load and the earth shook and those rocks rent, as that heavy burden was upon the shoulders of the Son of God. But then it was a dark day on Calvary, I believe, so all could hear the victorious proclamation out of the darkness. I used to coon hunt with my grandpa, Rob Bain. Many a time the old dog would be barking, the wind would be blowing, and grandpa would say, "Cut them lights off, I can't hear." Well, in darkness you can hear. You're laying there in the bed. You haven't paid it any attention, but then all of a sudden you hear the commode running, or you hear a drip, drip, drip. Because darkness magnifies things. Blind people have the ability to tell pitches. Brother Don Whaley, he'd get up and play a song, and he'd say, I believe you had that one in F sharp or in G flat, and he had perfect pitch, but he's a blind, and he could pick all that up. Well, this darkness is so thick, and boy, people are wondering what in the world is going on. And then out of that veil of darkness comes a loud cry. It is finished! He bows his head and gives up the ghost, and the darkness flees away. Hallelujah. What a victorious cry that was. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews 12:18, "For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and burned with fire, nor unto the blackness and darkness of Tempest, but you're come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels." On Mount Sinai, there was a darkness and thunders of judgment came roaring out. But on Mount Calvary, that darkness had to flee away. When Jesus made that statement, "It is finished," hallelujah. And then the Bible says something strange happened again. The veil of the temple was rent in twain. I can see those Pharisees as they're saying, "We got him now. He's dead now, boys. We saw him die. Let's go down to the temple and worship. We've got the Passover to sacrifice." And as they go running down toward the temple, there's a group of priests come running from the temple. "Hey, we got him, we got him." You may have, but we got another problem. "What do you mean?" "Well, just a little bit ago, the veil of the temple was ripped in two. It was like somebody stood there and grabbed it at the top and ripped it all the way to the bottom. And she's swinging wide open now, and anybody can just walk right in because the veil has been rent in two." Hallelujah. His blood was shed, the sacrifice was made, the way into the holiest was opened up because Jesus Christ paid the price. And when he said, "It is finished," he signed off and said, "That work of redemption is done. You can't add to it, you can't take away from it. It is the perfect work of Calvary." And out of that darkness came divine light of redemption. And now God that commanded the light to shine out of darkness shines the light of the glorious gospel in our hearts in the face of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And the scripture said, "Ye who sometimes were darkness are now light in the Lord." The Lord is the light of the world. And when you come to him, he brings you into his divine light. And now he says, "You go out and you shed that light." Because now you are the light of the world. You've got that light shining in you. We used to sing a little song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Hide it under a bushel, no, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Let it shine all over Topeka, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine." And the reason you're light in the Lord is because of that dark day on Calvary and what Jesus Christ did for us. I'm saved and delivered now from the darkness of hell, that pit of judgment and wrath, because Jesus took my place. If you haven't trusted Him today as your Lord and Savior, I beseech you to run to Him. Him who bled and died on the cross of Calvary. And He says, Him that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. And the Bible tells us that we should call upon the name of the Lord that bled and died upon the cross for us. And if you're not saved tonight and you don't know you're saved, today would be a good day to be saved. And if you are saved, just remember that dark day at Calvary happened so you could walk in the light of the love of our God. Hallelujah. All right, preacher, let's get a song tonight.